hadn't thought of this before, but after listening to Jeff Bowker's talk just recently about rot and destruction, I thought I'd begin with a possibly apocryphal, we simply do not have the archival evidence for this, story from my family's oral history, its oral memory archive, because it will tie in neatly with the last sentence in my presentation. I'm told, on what evidence I do not know, that after the invasion of Shanghai by the Japanese during the Second World War, when my mother's family were refugees for a time, that among all the destruction around and all the things that had been lost, the one thing that my grandmother cried about was the loss of her box of photographs. I think that's an appropriate beginning here and a segue from Jeff's talk. Now, over the past 2 days, that is yesterday and today, you've heard about the PAD initiative, and members of some of the other PAD working groups or committees have told you their perspectives on various aspects of the task of preserving, archiving, and disseminating electronic literature. This panel coming up is titled The Technology of E-Literature Preservation, The Shape of a Solution, and it represents the work of the PAD Technology Software Committee, which I head up, and whose other members include David Durand, Nick Montfort, Marilee Prophet, Liam Quinn, Jean Hugues Retti, I'm sorry about that, and Noah Wardrip Fruin. It's really one of the most unique groups of people I've ever worked with for two reasons. One is a very deep and broad technical knowledge across the range of knowledges needed for this particular task. And secondly, in the identical group of people, also very deep and extensive knowledge in the fields of electronic literature and also often the humanities history as well. It's really an interesting group in that way. Our committee was charged with proposing strategies and implementation plans for PAD based on current technology, emerging technology trends and related initiatives in the open source, XML, text encoding, library, museum, and commercial worlds, in which we have expertise distributed throughout the committee. The plan that the committee came up with, which is now written up in a 40-page report that will be presented and defended and attacked and so forth at the committee meetings this weekend coming up, includes two main technological approaches. One approach, which we call the Interpreter Initiative, is for PAD to develop open source interpreter or reader programs, as they are called, that can run the data files of electronic literature in a manner functionally equivalent to the original proprietary interpreter programs. A prime goal, for example, might be to develop an open source HyperCard interpreter that would restore to readability the many early e-literature works written in the HyperCard program, which is no longer fully supported by Apple. In addition, PAD can help develop so-called emulator programs that run works written for one computer hardware platform on a different platform. Now, the second approach that the PAD Technology Software Committee recommends is a more general initiative that we have branded speculatively X-Literature, or X-Lit for short, and that's X-Literature without the E here in front of the title. The main idea of X-Lit, and it's a challenging one, I think, is for PAD to adapt for electronic literature certain strategies for describing or representing digital content that are now being implemented in both the non- and for-profit software and content management worlds. Strategies, for example, such as the XML markup language and OAIS, METS, and RDF metadata standards. If only PAD can extend XML and metadata standards so that they describe not just static content, but at least some of the dynamic and interactive program behaviors that are the special province of e-literature, our committee believes, then we'll be on the way to representing electronic literature, to quote the committee's report, in a neutral, open, standards-based format, capable of maintaining the core being and behavior of a work while allowing its presentation to adapt to evolving hardware and software channels through understood, regular, and automated methods of transformation, close quote. Now, transformed itself from that bit of technological idiom into ordinary English, what that last statement means is that the problem of the preservation of e-lit takes its place, I think, within the general problem of the platform-neutral representation of digital media. That is, a media that, in principle, if not always with complete fidelity, can be translated from one environment to another. Of course, you'll recognize that this dream of a digital translation is merely an updated version of the semiotics of transparency that has been the goal of each and every historical media from orality on. Though not fully achievable, either in theory or in practice, transparent translation is nevertheless important to set as a goal, I think, in order to drive the multitude of vital, unpredictable, and brilliantly translucent, if not transparent, events that do happen when literate communities strive for perfect translation and achieve, well, not that, but something interesting, whether we call it representation, interpretation, recreation, remixing, or even that most opaque of all translucencies, scholarship. And we need not even mention bibliography here. My task in this introduction, thankfully, is not to explain the specifics of the technical approaches, terms, and acronyms I have so far mentioned. Some of that work was done yesterday, for example, in Mary Lee Prophet's talk on OAIS and METS. And some of that explanation will be done in the talks that you will hear from members of our committee, or not, depending on their specific needs in explaining the core concepts behind our plan for interpreting, emulating, and representing electronic literature. My main task in this brief introduction, instead, is only to demonstrate to a mixed audience of programmers, humanities scholars, and digital writers and artists how thoroughly and inextricably blended in this instance are the worlds of technology on the one hand and of the humanities and arts on the other. Interpretation, emulation, and representation, as I've said, are the main technical approaches that PAD will be pursuing. The links between each of these words and their equivalents in humanities scholarship, of course, are very, very rich. Interpretation links to the entire history of hermeneutics. Emulation might be linked to the postmodern theory of simulation. And my dearest example, representation, links, among many other things, to the particular agenda of the humanities and arts in the last two decades, heralded in this now famous journal, Representations, and the whole spawn of cultural critical and historicist work that it epitomized from the 1980s on, including my own early work. This specific number of representations, number 69, I bring in because it is especially apropos. It's a special issue edited by Thomas LaCure on the grounds for remembering. It's in fact the third in a sequence of special issues from representations on the relationship between history, memory, and the preservation of cultural artifacts. What is cultural studies, representations asks implicitly, but an investigation of the preservation, archiving, and dissemination of the artifacts of the past, as well as of the passing present in their full human significance? And correlatively, what is PAD in its search for a means of representing electronic literature, for example, as what it calls an XML representation, but a technical equivalent of the same cultural quest of remembrance? You know, if you read only business journalism and popular computer magazines, you'd think that technology was solely about the new or innovation. On its own page at Microsoft, for example, we see an image of Bill Gates reclined on a couch in the pose of grand innovator, old light bulbs strewn on the floor around him, symbolizing the discarded or draft ideas of a modern Leonardo, or at least the owner of the Leonardo Codex. But this is to forget that one of the main human uses of new technologies has always been to serve, that is, to interpret, emulate, represent, and ultimately witness the ode. Pick up those old, yet still you'll notice, brilliant light bulbs from the floor, PAD says. Polish these volumes of electronic literature, for which the bulbs, after all, are the perfect McLuhan-esque symbol. Screw them back into the original, or better, new sockets. Make them 1,000, or, in the wake of Stuart Brand, 10,000 points of light in the libraries, classrooms, and ultimately minds of living and future users. Preserving life, and preserving or illuminating the meaning of things that once mattered to those who lived, and this is in memory of my grandmother. Those are the true ends of technology. All the rest is means. Now, on the panel that follows, Nick Monfort will be first. He'll be talking on reading works that are no longer readable, emulators and interpreters. David Durand and Liam Quinn will then talk on X-literature, building XML representations of e-literature. Noah Walter Fruin and John Hugues, joined by Robert Kendall, who's actually not a member of our committee, but is the director of the Yellow Directory, will be talking last on X-literature solutions for archiving, studying, and authoring electronic literature.